It's the first Sunday in Advent. This is wonderful. There's probably a good many of us that were like, man, are we ever going to get this close to the end of 2020? And yet here we are. This is a wonderful time of the year. And so I'm so excited to share with you where we're going to be over our Advent season. As we anticipate Christmas and the new year, we reflect on the year almost gone by. And what we see is some startling and some troubling realities. We have seen how our best science cannot stop a virus. But what has been even more unsettling is how it has unmasked our attitudes, albeit through masked faces. We have watched injustice displayed and violence enacted toward our fellow human beings. But what has been more unnerving is how we have repackaged hate to be a marketing tool for controlling narratives and energizing agendas that only lead to more injustice. We have participated in a presidential election that has been fueled by arrogance and driven by divisiveness. But what has been most alarming is the unrelenting pride that cannot consider anything beyond my own individualism. The words from the Gospel of Matthew grasp well the reality of our day. If then the light that is within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? We are expressing the darkness of our inner attitudes. We are enabling the darkness of our outward injustices. We are indulging the darkness of our selfish pride. We truly are a people living in a land of darkness. But the hope of the gospel is that the people living in a land of darkness would see a great light. And that is the message to us at Christmas. That the world in darkness would see light. A.B. Simpson is the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance denomination, and he coined the phrase, the fourfold gospel. The fourfold gospel emphasized these following four aspects of Jesus. That Jesus is Savior, that Jesus is Sanctifier, that Jesus is Healer, and that Jesus is Coming King. These belong together, said A.B. Simpson. To have one without the other is to have a melody with no harmony, but when sang together, reveals to us the majesty of the good news of Jesus the Christ. Much like Wesley, who spent his life of ministry developing his theology of Christian perfection that was based upon the radical love of God, or like Jonathan Edwards, who spent his life of ministry developing his understanding of religious affections, which based his understanding that we will choose our greatest desire. E.B. Simpson focused upon the person of Jesus, who is Savior, Sanctifier, and Healer, and Coming King. And this will serve as our emphasis over the Advent season. The Gospel of John declares that Jesus is the light who came into the world, and that his light is the light, or his life is the light of men. And that his light, the very light of Jesus, overcomes the darkness. We need such a light in our dark days. Simpson, in his book, The Fourfold Gospel, lays out the benefits of Jesus as Savior. Listen, Jesus takes away the guilt of our sin. Jesus saves us from the wrath of God. Jesus delivers us from the curse of the law. Jesus delivers us from our evil consciences. Jesus delivers us from an evil heart. Jesus delivers us from Satan's power and his kingdom. Jesus delivers us from eternal death. Not only that, friends, Jesus forgives our sin. Jesus justifies us in the sight of God. Praise his name. Justified, by the way, is just as if you'd never sinned. That's how he views us. Jesus makes us spotless before his Father. Jesus energizes the favor of God and his love toward us. Jesus gives us a new heart. He provides us the grace to live each new day for his glory. Jesus gives us his very Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Jesus cares for our needs, and Jesus has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Jesus gives us eternity and eternal life. Praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus is Savior. I want to share with you three aspects of the gospel that are vital if we are going to really grasp that Jesus is Savior. The incarnation. Friends, if we're really going to grasp the reality that Jesus is Savior, then we must first admit that we need a Savior in the first place. The starting point, you ask. The starting point is acknowledging that the world is filled with darkness. Darkness, by the way, as a theological term in the New Testament, is associated with blindness. Blindness is an inability to see things rightly. It means we see things not as they truly are. The result of blindness in the New Testament leads to all sorts of violence, injustice, oppression, hatred. And this is just a start. That when we are blind to that which is the way things ought to be, the result is to do things that ought not to be. So this blindness leads us to our own devices. And those devices lead toward violence, injustice, oppression, hatred. Friends, it's not just an acknowledgement that the world is a dark place, but that we, even in our best efforts, cannot correct or fix the darkness of this world or the evil that resides in the human heart. Friends, we need a Savior whose light can overcome the darkness of the world, as well as the inner darkness of the human heart. The incarnation gives us such a promise. This is the message of Christmas, that light has come into the darkness and that the darkness has not overcome it. That light is the light of Jesus, and it is the message of Christmas. Friends, not only do we need to acknowledge that the world is a dark place and that even in our best efforts, we cannot fix it, we need to understand and grasp the cost. We must confess the cost of his saving work. And so we look at the crucifixion. If we're going to really grasp the reality that Jesus is Savior, then we don't just admit that the world is a dark place, but we must also confess the cost of his saving work that saves us from the darkness. The Gospels make clear that Jesus died on a Roman cross. Studies of the historical Jesus agree. Jesus died on a Roman cross. The Gospels declare that his death was the price that Jesus paid for the sin of the world. To say that differently, Jesus, the light of the world, faced all the darkness that the world had to offer. And the work of that darkness crucified him on a cross. In order to overcome the darkness, Jesus had to face the darkness head on. Aren't you thankful? In the Gospel of John, Jesus speaks these words from the cross. It is finished. What is finished? That Jesus had taken upon himself all the darkness that the world had to offer. And Jesus was crucified. He died and he was put in a tomb. And it leads us to ask the question, did the darkness of this dark world snuff out the very light that had come into the world as the light of the world? It is at the crucifixion that we ask, has darkness won the day? Is darkness my destiny? Is darkness my end? At the death of Jesus, it says, darkness covered the land. Had the light really been snuffed out? Friends, if we're really going to grasp the reality that Jesus is Savior, then we must live in the promise of the resurrection of Jesus. The Gospels tell us that Jesus rose again on the third day after his crucifixion. That means that Jesus overcame all the darkness that the world had to offer. It also means that Jesus can and will overcome all the darkness that dwells in the human heart. It is the life, death, and resurrection that brings us the peace of Christmas. After the resurrection, Jesus came to his disciples, and the Gospel of John tells us that, listen to this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, peace be with you. One of the things that is beautiful in this, as we live in a time where the breath of another might be contagious, might be contaminated, we need to hear these words in the Gospel of John, and Jesus breathed on them with no contamination and said, my peace be with you. He doesn't just say it once. He says it twice. Peace be with you. The repetition is a way of emphasizing the message. Peace. 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 Friends, as we walk in this dark world, we hear the promise of the resurrection and the resurrected Christ speak to us today. Peace! be with you. And when we face our fears that the darkness offers, we hear the resurrected Christ speak into our life, peace be with you. When we face the inner darkness of our lives, we hear the resurrected Christ say, peace be with you. When we experience the temptation that we too often fall into, we hear the resurrected Christ say, peace be with you. For the light has come into the world, and he has taken upon himself all the darkness that the world could offer, but he was not overcome by it. Rather, friends, the message of Christmas is that Jesus, at just the right time, came. And through his life and his death and his resurrection and his ascension, which seals the victory, is that he is Savior. He is Deliverer. He is the light of the world that overcame and overcomes the darkness by his incarnation, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension. Friends, this is the message of Christmas. Let me ask, will you receive the peace of Christ today? For it is his peace that brings light into the darkness. On the blessed night of our Savior's birth, Luke tells us there were shepherds. They were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and listen, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Do you remember, friends? The people who were living in the land of darkness have seen a what? A great light. This is the message of the angel whose light has now shone all around him. They were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Today I bring you good news of great joy, and it will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." At these words, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel. They're praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Peace! Peace!" Two men on whom his favor rests. Friends, receive the peace of Christ today. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Savior of all mankind. He is the Savior of you and me. And friends, hear this. He is the only Savior. He is a personal Savior. Friends, will you receive Jesus as Savior today? Before I close, allow me to just give a brief definition of peace. We celebrate peace at Christmas. What is this good news of great joy that has come to all the people? That peace and favor rest on the people. In the Greek, peace, the word is irene. It means satisfied. It also has the connotation of nothing lacking. If you're going to be totally satisfied, it means that there's no gap, there's no lack, which means that I have complete rest and total satisfaction. Friends, the message of Christmas is that the light of the world, Jesus, is Savior. And as Savior, he brings peace to us, which that peace leaves us totally satisfied. And when you're totally satisfied, you don't have to keep looking for other things in order to fill the gaps of your life. You have Jesus, the Savior, who satisfies us in all ways. Isn't that wonderful? This is the message of Christmas. Peace be with you. Friends, we have a great privilege to receive communion. When we receive communion, we take unto ourselves the reality of Christ. Theologically, I'll give you a quick theology lesson. There's three views of communion, right? That there's a symbolic view of communion, that there's the presence view of communion, and then you have the I don't want to use the technical term, but then you have not just the presence, but the actual person. And so, depending on what tradition that you are in, you fall in one of those three camps. A communion is either symbolic, it represents Christ, that there's something very real in it, that it's the presence of Christ, that there is something in receiving the elements that we're taking Christ into ourselves. And then there's a view that it actually changes into the very real body and blood of Christ. And so you say, okay, which one are we? Well, that can get us in all sorts of trouble, right? So I take a middle view. So you should know. And if that offends you, we can have a conversation. You should call the office, say, Ryan, I'd like to sit down and have a conversation with you about your view of of communion. Take a middle view. There's something very particular in when we receive the elements, we're taking Christ into ourselves, because it's there that he transforms us. Jesus says that we should do this often. This is why we participate in it. Because we're receiving Christ into ourselves, that he can transform us. And how does he do that? He does that from the inside out. So he goes to the darkness of our inner person, and he brings his light into our darkness. And know this, his light overcomes our darkness. So when we receive communion, what are you doing? You're saying, I am inviting the very life of Christ into me. Listen to what John says. In him was life. Now listen. And that life was the light of men. We take his life into ourselves, and he lights us up. How's he do that? He changes us. He transforms us. So know that when you receive communion, you are taking his life into yourself, that he can light you up with his presence. One of my favorite parts of Christmas is seeing people decorate their houses with lights. You realize, here we have a neighborhood down the road that I've been told decorates really well for Christmas. Winding Brook neighborhood, you're familiar? I'm told, I got to check it out for myself, that man, cars line up to travel through this neighborhood that lights up the neighborhood with lights. Friends, the body of Christ takes upon themselves the life of Christ, and what results is that he lights us up. I tell you what, when Jesus does that, people will stop to take notice. May God do such a work in us as we receive communion today. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to receive the elements, friends. If you would, hold on to the elements until all have been served, and then we will share in the meal together. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful, so thankful that you are the light of the world. And not only the light of the world, but you're the light of our life. And we need you to light us up. And so we're going to receive this meal that you won for us. It's a foretaste of a banquet that you are preparing for your people. This is not the full meal. It's a foreshadow. It's a taste of the banquet that's being prepared. And so we receive it with thanksgiving in our heart. We receive it taking into you into ourselves that you might transform us. We receive it as an acknowledgement of our faith. It says, Jesus, I'm trusting you with my life. Jesus, we receive you today. And we're so thankful and so grateful. Lord, I pray that as we receive it, that we would receive it in faith and in trust. That we would go and leave this place different than the way that we came because we have encountered the Christ who is alive and well, transforming his people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We praise you today. In Jesus' name. Amen.